All right, good morning again. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 10, and once you find your place, if you'd stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to stand this morning. Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 1, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this day that you've given to us, this opportunity that we have, that we can be here for the preaching of your word. And I pray, Father, again, you would speak to each one of us personally. I pray that you'd give me the very words to preach this morning. Father, that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word, that you would be here as I need you to get us through this. I need you to help me as I deliver this message this morning. And I thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and will not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When it comes to looking for a Savior, what are some people looking for? People approach Jesus for all kinds of different reasons. Some come to him for healing. They want physical healing. They're not interested in spiritual healing. They just want physical healing. They come to him for their problems, such as marital problems. Husbands go to him and ask him to straighten their wives out, right? Wives go to him and ask him to straighten their husbands out. Then their children, get their children back on track, right? It's sad when you see children that have been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and when they get old enough, they go a different direction, and it's hard to find them in the church house. Premarital. There's boyfriends and girlfriends. They pray that God would save the other one so that they could get married, right? They go to him for forgiveness. They don't want a relationship. That's not what they're after. They just want to ease their own conscience. They want inspiration but without perspiration. They don't want anything expected of them, right? And then baptism. They just want to get their eternal life ticket punched. It's all they care about. And Jesus can do all of these things, and much more, by the way. But that's not why he came. It's not why he came. The Bible tells us why he did come. He tells us that he is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. He came that we might be saved from our sins. That's why he came. He came as the Lamb for two reasons. One, to save us from our sins, and two, to call us into his service. His service. I've often said God didn't just save us for us to be saved. If he did, he'd just knock us over the head and take us home, right? He saved us so that we could be called into his service. So we need to consider a few things about the Feast of Passover. In John chapter 12, the Passover was their, kind of like we have our 4th of July celebration, it was like their independence from being in bondage and all from Egypt and being freed from that bondage. So it's kind of like we celebrate 4th of July, right? They have an Independence Day as they were freed from the bondage of Egypt. When they were celebrating the Passover in the New Testament, they heard Jesus was coming, and they went to greet him. So look over at John chapter 12 and verse 13. John chapter 12 and verse 13 says, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were excited. They were excited. Well, why? Let's just say, unfortunately, they were also misguided. Remember, in their shouting, this is what they said, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Palm branches. These palm branches were commonly used as a symbol of ruling power and Jewish nationalism. They were waving these palm branches, kind of like we wave our flag, right? It was just kind of this national symbol. Here they're waving these, hoping that Jesus would come restore their political dominance. They're hoping that as the King of Israel riding into town, right? They see this because they saw Jesus feed the 5,000. And they thought, he's going to come, right? In John chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. They thought that Jesus was coming to be the King of Israel to deliver them from Roman dominance. That's what they saw him as. He's going to deliver them from that. In John 6:15, it says, then Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. They wanted deliverance from the Romans. They wanted this deliverance, and they expected Jesus to accomplish this for them. Big misunderstanding of why he actually came. Look over at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everyone has an opinion of who Christ is. They all have an opinion. Some say he's a fraud. Some say that he was not the Son of God, but he's a false prophet, a liar, or a lunatic. Mormons claim that he is a man like us who became a little g god. Jehovah's Witnesses say he is just a man, albeit a great man, kind of like, you know, Martin Luther King or George Washington. Some even claim that he was an apparition, the spirit of a dead man walking that could be seen. But I'm going to tell you that the Bible tells us who he truly is. He is the Lamb of God who came and shed his blood for the remission of sins. That's who he is. The Bible tells us clearly, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to lay down his life to pay the penalty of sin so that we could have eternal life. That's why he came. Jesus knew that they were not going to understand his true identity until after his sacrifice, after his death on the cross, after his resurrection. That's when they would understand. But instead of a mighty warrior coming in and riding on a white horse, he's humble, gentle Savior riding on a donkey. Palm Sunday is not about welcoming the victorious national king, but about recognizing Jesus as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He died on the cross that we might be saved from God's judgment. We have a picture of this in the Old Testament in Exodus 12, where God commanded Israeli families to put the blood on the doorposts. And when the death angel came, it passed over those that had the blood on the doorposts. And there was great joy in those homes. But when the death angel came and the blood wasn't there, there was wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the destruction that took place when those children were taken and were killed. John the Baptist knew who he was. Look at John 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John knew who he was. The Lord said he was the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. We, in the United States of America, sometimes forget that he didn't die just for Americans. He died for everyone, worldwide. He is the Lamb of God that shed his precious blood for the world. Not just us, but for the world. That's why every single one of God's churches needs to be involved in missions. It's important. I thank God for a church that has a heart for missions. It's a blessing to my heart when we have visitors come in and they talk about the, what I call the wall of fame downstairs, as we have all of our missionaries that we have a part in supporting down there, and they tell me, "This is amazing how many missionaries you people are able to support with so few." It's not about us. It's about God. It's about what God's doing. When we lose sight of that, we'll have a problem. It's what God's doing. But for us to get on board with His plan and doing what He wants and getting involved in missions is a great thing. So we look at the nature of the wolves. To further understand why he came as the Lamb of God, we need to look at Luke chapter 19 when he came to the Passover. So look at Luke 19, verses 36 through 42. Luke 19, verse 36, "And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. He wept because they had no idea who he was. They didn't understand that he was the Lamb of God who came to shed his blood so that they could have their sins forgiven. They're trying to make him the King of Israel. The King of Israel, to set them free from the bondage of Rome. That's what they cared about. And Jesus in verse 42 says, basically comes out and says, you came within reach of eternal life and you missed it. You came within reach and yet you missed it. You don't get it. You don't understand. You see, a person can come to church every single Sunday, sit in the pew, listen to the preaching of the Word of God, and still die and go to a devil's hell. A person can come and sit in a pew every single Sunday, put money in the offering plate, tithing, giving to God back what God has required of us, and still die and go to a devil's hell. A person can come to church every Sunday, be baptized, be a member of the church, and still die and go to a devil's hell. You see, we can do all kinds of good works and still die and go to a devil's hell. And why? Because these things never saved anyone. Doing these things doesn't save a person. I have people say, well, you go to church enough for both of us. No, I don't. I don't go to church enough for me. I'm not doing anything to save you or anyone else. Church attendance isn't going to get you there. I've had people tell me, well, this person does so many great things, obviously God's not going to reject them a place in heaven. Trusting in the wrong thing. And they just don't get it. Some have gotten so close to salvation, but they've never accepted that Lamb of God, that free gift of eternal life from the one who died for their sins. They've gotten close, but they haven't gotten there. I think our churches are filled today with people who think they know Him. And I've said many times that there's a lot of people who have been led to repeat after me a prayer on their front porch, and they start going to church thinking they're saved when nothing happened in their life. But they're going through the motions because somebody said, well, now you're saved. Now you have eternal life. First, you have to believe in your heart. And then confession is made with thy tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can't just repeat some words that mean nothing to you and have eternal life. It doesn't work that way. Many in our churches today think they're saved, but have never actually accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's going to be sad. You have to be born again. You have to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ that the Bible talks about is the one that came and died, gave His life, laid down His life, rose again, and ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is what the gospel teaches. Not tithing, not church attendance, not doing good works, not singing in a choir, not teaching a Sunday school class, none of that. Look at Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Had Jesus not come and died and laid down His life, shed His own blood, we wouldn't be able to be washed in the blood. Liberal churches today do not preach about the blood of Christ. They don't teach or they don't sing about the blood of Christ. And they are sending the people to hell because they have a gospel that is without the blood of Christ. You can't have the gospel without the blood of Christ. The only ones that are going to be in heaven are the ones who have accepted that free gift of eternal life, those that have been washed in the blood. When Jesus came down the street riding the donkey, they had no idea why He came. They were looking at somebody that came to deliver them. But while they cheered, He cringed, knowing that they were missing why He came as the Lamb of God. Many will come to churches, sit in pews, get all caught up in the emotional experience and all, leave and go home and be exactly the same way when they got here. Lost and undone and in need of a Savior. Jesus longs for everyone to understand, to recognize, to accept Him for who He is, the Lamb of God who came to shed His blood for you and I. Told you who He is, the Lamb of God, but the Bible also tells us how He sends us to represent Him. Sends us as lambs among wolves. As lambs among wolves. The Lord sent out 70 disciples, 70 of them, to prepare the public for His ministry in our text for this sermon. In verse 3, He told them, "Go your ways." Go your ways. The reason the Lord sends workers out into the world is because the lost world will not come to us. As a general rule, they are not going to come to us looking for salvation. It's interesting. They will come for entertainment. I'll tell you, I've had some people when we've had a group come in here and sing. I've invited people here that I've also invited to a regular service. They came for the singing. They want to be entertained. They don't mind being entertained. They don't mind coming for social reasons. I was at a church years and years ago, and we always had, every year, we had a Friends Sunday, Friends Day. And we put on a barbecue and fed everybody who came. And one guy showed up, and it was during the Sunday school hour, and the Sunday school teacher asked everybody around the table, "What did you come today for?" And this guy was honest. He said, "I came for the free meal." He didn't come back. He got the free meal, but he didn't come back. They'll come for social reasons. They'll come for giveaways. Got stuff to give away? They'll be more than happy to show up. You'll fill churches with people who are looking for those things, but it's hard to fill a church with people looking for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God's called us to go forth as lambs among wolves. They're not going to come to us, so we have to go to them. Let me just say, a church that will not go will soon die. The Lord calls us to go. To go. The business of the church is to save souls, to see people come to Jesus Christ. Obviously, we can't save them, but the idea behind it is to go out and share the gospel with people that they too can come to Christ and be added to the church. We need to be willing to do that. Go soul winning. We need to be willing to go. However, many today in Christian circles remind me of some people at a red light. When the light changes, they just sit there. And we begin to wonder, how many times does the light have to change green before they go? How green does the light have to get before they go? How many sermons have they got to hear before they will go and do to their family and their friends and tell them about the Lamb of God that came and shed His blood for our sins? The Lord told the 70 disciples, "Go." The lost world is not beating the church doors down to get in. We have to go to the lost and take the gospel to them. Again, Jesus said, "Go your ways." He instructs us to do this. But also, as we read in Scripture, there's something amazing here. The Lord's approach to recruiting disciples was an unusual method, to say the least. In Luke 10:3, he said, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Now, as you think on that for a minute, I myself cannot imagine when the Lord said that, "I send you forth as lambs among wolves," that there were hands shooting up all over saying, send me, I want to go. I volunteer. Because why do you want to go as a lamb in a bunch of wolves? I can't imagine that. What's happening here is the Lord's being up front. He's being honest with these people. He's saying that when you go out there, you have to expect that there's going to be some confrontation. There's going to be some persecution. There's going to be some rejection. There's going to be some things going on. And you need to understand that you need to be as a lamb among wolves out there. He tells them this because serving the Lord is not always a picnic. Yeah. There's a lot of preachers that'll tell you it's a bowl of cherries all the time. It's not. Sometimes it's not so great. Sometimes we go through some rough times. Sometimes we're going to see some opposition. He's saying, get ready. This is what's going to happen. You're going to go out as lambs among a bunch of wolves out there. He didn't want them to think they could earnestly contend for the faith without any contention. Again, he was being honest with those that he called. He was honest with his followers. He told them exactly what they could expect. Exactly what they could expect. He used the illustration of lambs among wolves because it conveys the truth. Now, he's not trying to discourage people from getting on board and following him. It's not what he's doing. What he's doing is saying, I want you to know exactly what you can expect when you get on board and you follow me and you get involved in my service. These things are going to happen. I don't want them to take you by surprise. I want you to be aware these are going to happen. And it does. I can tell you, I've been knocking doors. I actually had one guy threaten to shoot me. And he had a gun in his hand. I said, well, if he shoots me, I go to heaven, right? When we left his, outside of his garage where he was working, when we walked up to him, we're walking away, and the teenager I had with me that day said, what do we do now? I said, you pray for him. He says, but he's got a gun and our backs are to him. God's got this. Didn't concern me in the least. Just started praying for him. It's what we need to do. Had doors slammed in my face. I've been called many different things that I can't repeat. Jesus said we would. He said these things are going to happen. In fact, he told us that they hated him. What makes you think they're going to embrace us? God sends us forth as lambs representing him to a lost world. A lamb is one of the humblest creatures on the face of the earth. Yeah, he's saying we have to be humble. Have you ever noticed that there's not a nation in the world out there that has a lamb as its symbol? Think about it. The United States of America has an eagle, right? Russia has a bear. China uses the dragon. Why? These are all symbols of power. Nobody has a lamb. Because a lamb would show humility, not power. Lamb does not stand for strength. stands for humility. Yet the Lord has called us to be lambs out there in a world of wolves. A lot of Christians could win many to the Lord if they would stop being a wolf and become a lamb. The lamb will stand with no protest while someone cuts its throat. When the Lamb of God was placed on the cross, He willingly laid down His life. Willingly. It was not the power of the Roman soldiers that kept Him there. It wasn't the nails in His hands and His feet that kept Him there. No, it wasn't any of that. It was because He was the Lamb of God who shed His blood for our sins. That's what held Him there. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 18. John 10:18 says, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." As I've said time and time again, Jesus laid His life down. Man could not have taken His life had He not been willing to give it up. I want to bring your attention in Fox's Book of Martyrs. You read about great men and women that God sent to spread the gospel, and vicious wolves literally tore their bodies apart. Literally tore their bodies apart. Some would say, well, how could some of these suffer death for Christ? How could they do it? When Nero threw these great saints of God in the arena in Rome to be eaten by lions, we are told that many of them fell onto their knees with their outreached arms towards heaven and never flinched when the lions pounced on them. We wonder, how could they do this? As their bodies were being torn apart by these lions, these saints of God spiritually had their eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. To them, the lions were nowhere worthy of their attention. Only the Lord Jesus Christ was worthy of their attention. How could they do it? How could they do it? When Stephen was being stoned to death, he had that lamb-like spirit. Look at Acts chapter 7. Verses 59 and 60. Acts 7, verse 59. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." With a lamb-like spirit, he prayed almost the same prayer as the Lord Jesus Christ, asking the Lamb of God to forgive them. As the stones pounced on his body, it was as if it was nothing compared to the glimpse, that glimpse of the Lamb of God. As he looked up and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, those stones were nothing in comparison. He saw the Lamb of God who came to shed His blood to take away our sins. We're going to reach a lost world for Christ. We must have a lamb-like spirit. We must humble ourselves. Our calling involves our knowing. We've got to know the nature of the wolves, and we've got to know the nature of the lamb. You say you're a lamb, but live like a wolf, then you are misrepresenting the Christian life. We are called to be lambs. He says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Had people tell me I can't go because I just can't deal with people and the way they treat. Well, you know what? It's not you that they're treating that way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ they reject. Not about us. Not about us at all. In fact, we had that conversation on the way in this morning. It's not about us. We're coming down Trent, getting to Pines. There's a sign that says, side road closed ahead. I said, that must be Pines. And then I said, no, it can't be because there's traffic coming through there. And as we got up there, yes, it was Pines. They had the signs up there saying road closed on both the Trent side and on the south side of the railroad tracks. And cars were coming through there, and there was a guy out there waving them back. And they just came through. I said, it's all about me. It's all about me. That's what the world thinks today. It's all about me. When it's really all about Him. We get our eyes off ourselves. We get our eyes on the Savior. And we're going to want to be about His business. Why He called us. Why He saved us. Was to be sent as lambs among wolves. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truths in Your word, and thank You that You never sugarcoat things, but You tell us exactly what we can expect. And then we wonder what happened when we end up in the situations that You've already told us are going to happen. Father, I pray if there's someone in our midst this morning who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. There's so many who have come so close and yet not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, for those of us who have, I pray that we are, as Jesus said, sent as lambs among wolves. I pray that we humble ourselves and in humility we go and we share the gospel message of the lost and dying world. Obviously, people aren't beating the doors down here to get in to hear the truths of the gospel. So we need to take it to them. So we thank You for what You're going to accomplish as we have this time of invitation. We'll not fail to give You all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.